pray, Lord, for our nation, that you will remember our country and bring the fear of God into our country, Lord. We need God. We need God. We need you to come, Lord, and be glorified in our nation, that you will be the center of attention in the United States. Lord, we need you to do that. Stop the sin and revive the churches. Now, Lord, we pray for each one of us tonight, Lord, that we may grow in your kingdom, that we may be delivered from all that is not of God, all that is spurious and false and misleading. We might know your will, Lord, and hear your voice alone. Hallelujah. And know Jesus. Know you, Lord, so that in the days ahead we may be following you, Lord, and not running around in distraction, but may know your voice and be led safely home. We love you, Jesus. Now help us all tonight. Cover us under your precious blood. Anoint us, the teaching, with your Spirit. We'll be careful to praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. And here we go. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now this is indeed a marvelous scripture, and it's not easy to understand, but each one of these visions that John had, and they're not necessarily chronological. The Lord would say, John, look at this. And then he'd say, John, look at that. So it's not a sequence of things. This happens after this and this. They're separate pictures of different aspects of the kingdom of God. And this vision here shows us one of the most important things about the Christian church and its purpose. And obviously the woman is the church. She is clothed with the sun representing Jesus. And the moon under her feet represents the creation of God that's given to the church to rule. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars refers to the stars of God that the church has brought forth, like Paul and Peter and James and the other heroes of faith that we always set our sails by. Did you ever notice that? See, the stars, you follow the stars. The star leads you to Christ. And whenever we're teaching children, we always teach them about Daniel, we teach them about Peter, we teach them about Paul. We never teach them about what the church did, but about the stars of the church. They're the ones that lead. And she was with child, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Now, what does this mean? We go over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4:19 says this, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." Notice that it does not say until you become like Jesus. This is not a figurative expression. This means just what it says, that the church, the ministries of the church, travail just as a woman would travail until Christ, the substance of Christ, the person and nature, not the person Jesus, but it's not a figure of speech. It doesn't mean until we are good. It means until the divine nature of God is strong enough in us to rule us. See, when we're first born again, it's really more of a conception than a birth. It's really more of a conception. And we have that holy seed in us, and we have to watch out for it and take care of it, that it doesn't get choked out. And basically what the Christian life is a living before God while this that has been born in us is beginning to make itself felt till it can come to birth, and so that we can say we are a new creature. That doesn't happen when we first receive Jesus by any means. When we first receive Jesus, we are still basically ourselves, but God gives us His Spirit and He plants the seed of God in us. But that seed has to grow, isn't that right? It has to grow. And for it to grow, we have to read the Bible, we have to meet with the saints, we have to obey God, and our whole Christian life really is a travail. If you see the Christian life like that, you see it very truly is what it is. It's a travail until the divine nature that is planted as a seed in us is so large and so strong that it puts under our old nature, supplants it, and begins to rule it. And before it grows very much, our old nature has to read the Bible and obey the Holy Spirit. But all the while, within our old nature is growing another nature, the nature of God, and it's being fed by the body and blood of Jesus, just as within a woman, the embryo, the fetus is fed nourishment through the mother. So the new man within us is fed, and we have an old nature and a new nature. And that's the problem with just going out and living in sin and disobeying God, is that the new man doesn't get fed as he should. Like the parable of the sower, he doesn't grow. He's not formed. And the problem with these Galatians was they were going back into circumcision and all these things. And Paul says, there's nothing to that. That is, if you want to be circumcised, be circumcised. If you want to keep the Sabbath day, keep the Sabbath day. If you want to eat fruits and nuts and vegetables, do that. That's not of the issue. What's of the issue? The only thing that's of the issue is this new life that's in us. And if you want to keep the Sabbath day, keep it. If you want to eat pork, eat it. And if you don't, don't. Christianity is not a bunch of religious rules. Those rules, what the purpose of rules in Christianity, the purpose of them, is to hold the old man steady and keep him under discipline while God is bringing up the new. And when the new man comes to sufficient stature, he rules, and we do right by nature. And in fact, all of our church stuff, everything that we do, is a scaffolding. It's something to hold things steady while God is building what He is after. And what God is after is not human. It's not something that we learned and we did right. It is a new nature. It is supernatural. It comes from God above. And so the most important thing in Christianity really is described in the 12th chapter of Revelation. It's this travail, because apart from it, what God wants cannot be accomplished. What God is after, saints, is rulers. And the reason for that is that man lets Satan into the world. And man is going to have to drive him out. You see, if you sin, if you or I sin, and I let Satan into our life, whether it's in profanity or gossip or drunkenness or lust or whatever it is, when we sin, you can come up and to be prayed for and get deliverance, and that's a good thing and a very helpful thing. But there's something more important than deliverance, and that is the growth within you of the power to overcome. And deliverance is a tool that is used to help you. But until you yourself receive the spiritual power to drive the devil out, the deliverance will not work for you. You'll lose it. And that's why people come up and get delivered and then lose it, and come up and get delivered and then lose it. It's because they're trying to get God to do something for them that God will not do. In fact, the whole evangelical concept of heaven is based on that idea. Lord, get us out of here into a place where we don't have to fight, where we're not tempted. Do that for us, which we cannot do. And God will never do it. He'll never do it. I want you to understand, people, that sin began in heaven. Going to heaven doesn't solve the sin problem. There's only one thing. You remember, sin started among the angels. Going to be with the angels doesn't solve the sin problem, because that's where it started. And who knows that they won't sin again? What is there to say that the angels won't rebel against God again? There's no safeguard. I want you to know that sin is a spiritual phenomenon, and this whole myth that we've got going, that if I can just get out of here and get to a place where there's no more temptation, is not of God. That's not Christianity. God's whole thesis or goal is to create within the spiritual realm a force that will overcome evil. And he found that in his son. He said, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." Now, who are the fellows of Jesus Christ? I do not know. I know that God has made Jesus Lord of all. I know that. I know that I worship Jesus. Jesus is God's choice. But that's a very remarkable statement of Scripture that the Father made to Jesus. He says, God, to Jesus, he said, "God, even thy God," that is the Father, "thou hast loved righteousness," thou, God speaking to Jesus, "thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, the Father, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." And then after that, God had Jesus born among men, flesh. And then God put him through the ringer. This one that God said, "You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity," then he put him down in the circumstances that we face and put him through the ringer. And then finally, the last temptation was in Gethsemane, where Christ was tempted more than any of us could possibly ever stand, because he is a great being, and God, he learned obedience through the things which he suffered, the Bible says. And Christ cried out in an agony of blood, "Not my will, but thine be done." Now, what was going on there? Why was the very Son of God put in a place where his very soul would be wrung out of him in an agony of torturous resolution, to where the doing of God's will was almost impossible for him? Why did God take Jesus from the ivory palaces, as it says in the 45th Psalm, and subject him to these awful pressures until he cried out in an agony, "Not my will, but thine be done"? Why? Tell you why. Because there had been a rebellion in heaven. Now, it says Satan's tail drew a third of the stars of heaven. Now, I don't know how many angels there are, but surely that is a number, a third of that number, is a dreadful rebellion indeed. Of all the great angelic hosts, and many of the leaders fell, because in Ephesians 6 it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers." What's that talking about there in the Greek is the archons of heaven. It's talking about the angels who were highly placed in positions of responsibility. It doesn't say we're wrestling against little demons or lesser angels. We're wrestling against the chiefs of heaven, the archons in the Greek, the very chiefs of heaven, rebelled against God. That, you see, that's why I get my dandruff up when I hear too much talk about heaven. Now, I have just as much of a hope of leaving this world of tears and woe and going into a place of peace as any man in the house. But I want you to know there's a greater issue here. God is after something, and it has to do with travail, and it has to do with the 12th chapter of Revelation. God is after something. He had in heaven a tremendous rebellion. The great lords of heaven, the great angelic lords, rebelled against God. That's what sin is. It's a disobedience of God's law. Sin is the transgression of the law, it says in 1 John 3, verse 4. Sin is the transgression of the law. Now, brother, sister, that has never been solved yet. Because Jesus is waiting at the right hand of God until his enemies be brought under his feet. And those enemies are not people. They are these angels who are still in a position to rebel against God and are still attempting to frustrate God's will. And that's why the earth is in the shape that it's in. Now, that problem is not solved by our going to heaven. You understand that? That's not solving anything. I'm not preaching against heaven. I'm trying to convert the thinking of the church to the scriptures, what's actually going on. Because nothing is accomplished by our going to heaven, except our shot is over and we get to rest in the spiritual realm until the Lord comes. But nothing is accomplished, because the problem is not transferring people from one place to another, transferring us from the earth to where sin started. That isn't accomplishing anything. The problem is sin in the spiritual realm. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The problem is sin in the spiritual realm. And it hasn't been overcome, because Jesus is waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. They haven't been made his footstool yet. They are still challenging his right to rule. And that's the problem of Christianity. That's the problem that we face. The earth is the suburbs of hell. Why? Because these spirits are still ruling in the heavenlies. That's why. God's will is not being done here. Is it? Well, then we've got a problem, don't we? And it isn't solved by our going anyplace. Now, that is why the Son of God had to be proven in Gethsemane. He had to overcome rebellion. Man fell because of Adam's disobedience. We were saved by Christ's obedience. That's what saved us. If Jesus, under those terrible pressures, had not obeyed God, God would have had to look someplace else to solve the problem of sin in the universe. There is sin in the universe. It began, a third of heaven fell with it, and it hasn't been solved yet. Now Christ, through his obedience to God, and his death upon the cross, redeemed man. See, he didn't stop the devil from ruling the world. What he did was he laid the legal basis for redemption. So that God's hands are free to move as he will on the basis of Christ's blood. That much has been done. But the devil still works in the kingdom of men, see. The legal basis has been laid, but what God is after has not been accomplished. Now, what God is after is an army of people who will overcome the devil. That's what God is after. Because God's rule is that mankind allowed Satan in, therefore mankind has to drive Satan out. And it works in your life and my life as individuals. That's what I told you. There are some things God will not do. God will not allow somebody to deliver you from sin. You have to, of your own choice, say, this is wrong and I reject it and I pray to God to drive it out. Now, what God has done, God has given us through Jesus' blood and his body and blood that we take in the communion and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, what God has given us through Jesus Christ is the power to overcome. But whether we do or not is up to us. And that's what Christianity is. Now the church has not understood that to this day. I'm sure many individuals have, but the church as a whole does not understand this principle of God's dealing. And that is why Jesus has not returned, and why the world is in the state that is in, and the church is that's in the state that it's in. Because the church does not understand what God is after. Now, what I'm preaching here may seem deep, but it's very, very simple. We are in the day of the man-child. That's where we are. I'll tell you that right now. We are in the day when God is ready now to put the capstone on salvation. That's what the latter rain is all about. We have passed into a dispensation of God's workings. We have passed into a dispensation of God's workings in which God is ready now to release the church from Satan's yoke. We have the understanding of what God's after. All right, now, you and I, right today, we had some temptation. We were tempted along some lines, sin, rebellion, self-pity, drunkenness, whatever it was. All right. Now, what God is looking for today is people, our people, who will overcome, who will allow God to form Christ in them and cause Christ to come to maturity in them until they can gain victory in everything that God puts before them. And you can be a part of that army. That army, we won't have time to go into it tonight, but that army is prophesied in many places in the Scripture. We are close to Joel's army. There's going to be a great people and a strong. This is God's time for it. And that's what Jesus meant by saying, many that are last shall be first. He meant that many that are last in time shall be the first to enter into the kingdom. And we enter into the kingdom by overcoming through Jesus Christ the things that are set before us. Now, that's what Revelation 12 is describing. It's saying that the church will go into travail, and out of the church will come forth a ruler. And that's not speaking of the church bringing forth Jesus Christ. He wasn't born of the church. He was born of the Virgin Mary. This is talking about the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Now that's what God wants. And as soon as these overcomers, conquerors, saints, call them what you want to, it doesn't matter. As soon as this company has been brought forth, the end of the age is upon us. This is what God is waiting for. The hands of the angels are tied, though God's warrior angels are tied. There's nothing they can do until God brings forth a group of people who overcome the devil. See? And the way we overcome the devil is by allowing God to bring forth Jesus within us, Christ, because He is the only overcomer of the devil. You know, Satan's tactic is to keep the church busy in all kinds of things. And I'm sure all of these works do many wonderful things. I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. But Satan fears none of it. There's only one thing that Satan fears, and that is that the church of the Lord Jesus will bring forth Christ within the believers. When that happens, he is finished. He is finished. All that Satan fears is God. He does not fear the church. The church, to bring forth Christ, will have to die. See, the church has never been willing to die. It's got more programs than Carter has liver pills. But in the last days, as Samson of old, the church will go down into death. And when it does, by its own act of death, it will pull down the whole temple of the devil. Absolute victory is coming. But it is God's. God will have it no other way. Man let Satan in. Man has to kick Satan out. And just like you or me, if we let smoking into our lives, we have to get God's power to drive it out. God will not reach down and take away your cigarettes. You have to take them and cut them up and throw them out. You have to do that by your own hand. You know, in the Old Testament, the priest didn't kill your bull. You had to kill your own bull. And brother, sister, it's true today. You have to put the knife through your own desires. People say, oh, I've been prayed for, I didn't get delivered from cigarettes. Do you know why? Because they're waiting for God to do that which God will not do. God, if you pray to God, He will give you the strength to stop. But you see, people don't like to use their willpower. They want God to use the willpower and say, the devil made me do it, and you'll never be delivered. You want to get delivered from fornication? Pray, and God will give you the power to stop fornicating. Or any other sin, but I've seen this work again and again. You have got to make up your mind that what you are doing is wrong, and call upon God, and God will deliver you. Because it never is God's will for any Christian to walk a known sin. Never. Never. Not under the new covenant. Never. But the reason people fail is because they're waiting for God to do that which God will never do. They're waiting for God to just reach down and do it all for them. That's why they want to go to heaven. Is I don't want to fight it. I don't want to get the victory. Let me go to heaven and eat popcorn. Let the Jews preach the gospel. See? That's what people are hoping for. Just give me a picnic in the sky. God is looking for people to repossess the earth. Warriors who are not willing that a cherub should rule mankind. And Satan is a cherub. They're not willing for that. And they have the word that God has given the earth to man. And that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can regain everything that Satan stole from mankind. Everything. If we have a heart to fight. Praise the Lord. And I would love to go to a land of peace and rest just as much as anybody. Just as much as anybody. I don't like pain any more than anybody else. But I see a bigger issue here. God wants people in whom is that same love of righteousness and hatred of iniquity that Jesus has. And let me tell you, when he gets those people, he can put them in heaven or upon the earth or in hell itself, and they won't sin. Because Jesus wouldn't sin if you put him in hell. And we are being made in his image. Do you see the point? God is not changing our location. That's not the new covenant. He is changing our personality. Do you see the difference? He's not changing where we are. He's changing what we are. Adam and Eve were in paradise with a body with no sin in it, and they still fell. People say, could I fall if I was in paradise? Well, Adam and Eve did. The change of location doesn't accomplish anything except remove you from the conflict. What God wants is changed people. That's what the new covenant is. It's people in whom God's conqueror, God's warrior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been brought forth. And they're just like him. You take him into heaven, they're a bulwark against sin there. That's where it began. You put them in the earth, they're a bulwark against sin there. They're a bulwark against sin. They're God's guarantee that there'll be no more rebellions. And they shall judge angels. And they shall judge the world. And they shall inherit all things. They are God's rulers. What God is creating is rulers. And you can be one. But you don't get it by laying on your back and saying, I'm unworthy, but he's worthy. You can't call Jesus Lord, Lord, and not do what he says. You have to come to him and say, Lord, help me and make me the type of person that you want me to be. Because I hate the devil and all of his works. And I don't want it to touch me. Through your grace, I want to be holy. I want to be made holy. I want to be made righteous. I don't want anything of this world or sin whatsoever touching me at all. Jesus, by your grace, do it. And he's got the power. He's got it. He's got it. You see, we overcome by faith. We overcome by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what God has said, that through Jesus Christ we can overcome. And we can. because Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And that's why he was manifested. And when he begins to grow in us, what comes into our hearts is a desire to destroy the works of the devil. That's what God is after. Destroyers of the works of the devil. A whole army of them. God's untouchables. Already having died and been raised again. A great people and a strong. That's what Revelation 12 is talking about. And we are in the time. And the church is in travail. That's the most important thing that's going on today. It is important that the missionaries go out. These things are important. But beyond that, there's something even more important. In the church today, God is creating his rulers. You don't become a ruler by being forgiven. That is not how God makes a ruler, by giving you imputed righteousness. He makes rulers by taking you and subjecting you to every conceivable temptation, delayed gratification, onerous task, patience, 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 patience. Everything God works with you, needs and pulls, until it seems that there is no part of your being that God hasn't dealt with endlessly. And you can't use self-pity, and you can't cop out on anything or blame people or lose your faith. You have to keep pushing ahead. Pushing ahead in Jesus. That's how God is making warriors. And when he gets them, he's going to come like David and his mighty men, and they're going to go through the earth saying, bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee to Messiah Jesus. If you want to be in that army, you've got to be called, you've got to be chosen, and you've got to be faithful. You've got to be called, you've got to be chosen, and you've got to be faithful. Because it's a hand-picked elite bodyguard for the Lord. Rulers, judges, priests of God. You don't make priests and rulers and judges by forgiving their sins. That's the beginning. You have to train them, prepare them, teach them, strengthen them till they come to full stature. You don't pay babes and put them on the thrones of glory. Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Now that's a Revelation 12. Back to Revelation 12. Now notice that the problem is in heaven. The church is in heaven. The woman is in heaven. The church is in heavenly places. It says in Colossians 3, you're dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. But also in heaven is what? A dragon. See, the spiritual problem has not been solved yet. The dragon is still in heaven. That's what it says, isn't it? The church is in heaven, the dragon is in heaven, and they're facing each other. That's what's going on today. The problem is spiritual. You don't solve it by escaping from the earth that originated in the heavenlies, is still in the heavenlies. We're wrestling against these rulers in the heavenlies. I'm not saying the devil is around the throne of God. Don't misunderstand me. There's a place where God and Jesus and the saints are and all that. You understand that? But in the heavenlies, in the spiritual realms that control the earth, in that realm, we wrestle against demonic powers in that realm that rule in that realm. And the church and Satan are in opposition. Now, how does the church solve this? Not by doing a whole bunch of stuff, but by giving birth. We're going to overcome the devil not by our committee meetings, but by giving birth. Not by throwing money at the problem, but by giving birth. by dying, as a woman goes down into death to bring forth a child. So each one of us has to go down into death. Jesus died so that we might live. We have to die so that Jesus can live. Did you know that? See, we couldn't have lived except Christ died. Now Christ can't live unless we die. Isn't that something? See, we have to come in our... Now it's our turn to lay down our life so that Christ can have His way in us. If we choose to save our life, Christ can't have His way in us. You can't have two people on the throne of our life. We have to lay down our lives so that Christ can rule in us and have His way. All right, now notice that she cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. I think we'll see this more and more. People will say, come right in from the radio and say, you know, I've really been troubled. I don't know what's going on, but God's been dealing with my life, and I feel this tremendous desire and this tremendous pull. Do you ever feel that way? You know, you come into salvation, then you move into Pentecost, and after a while you're in Pentecost, you get a hunger for something deeper. Did you ever get a hunger for something deeper? See, well, what you're after is you're wanting that fullness of Christ to come forth in your life. It isn't enough just to be anointed with the Spirit. That's wonderful. But God has even more than that. He wants Christ to be formed in us. And when God's leading you that way, nothing else will satisfy. Musical specials won't satisfy. All the church do won't satisfy. You've got to have God, God, God. You've just got to have God. And that's a travail to bring forth divinity within you, to bring forth that supernatural presence that is going to overcome the world. See, that right that's being brought forth within you, that is the victory that God is going to give over these heavenly leaders. See, that's that victory is being formed in you. Not going to be by what you do, but by the victor with a capital V, the overcomer with a capital O, who's within you. And 10, the number 10 means in the world, horns is power. He has power in the world, 7 crowns upon his head. He has this authority. And even today, this is true of Satan. See, he's ruling. We say he's a defeated foe, and he is. He was defeated on the cross. Legally, he has no business here, but he is here. See? Legally, Satan has no business in anybody's life on this earth. But he is here, isn't he? It's going to take power to drive him out. Let's see how it happens. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. That's, to us mortals, that's incomprehensible. A third of the angels of God in rebellion against God, that's incomprehensible. These are beings of such size that man looks like a little bump on a nothing compared to some of these heavenly dignitaries that fell. It's no wonder that the world's in the condition that it is. Devils today thirsting for the blood of humans. You can hear some of these things where two-year-old girls are being raped or being kidnapped and held as love slaves and all this. Two-year-old, three-year-old children. Another thing I wouldn't even want to mention. You know what that is? That's these fallen angels, these demonic powers who feed on the flesh of human beings. You see, it's different. I can remember when I was a child, there was nothing going on like there is today. Nothing. Nothing. The things that are being done today, I do believe people would have been hung publicly. But you see, more and more as a demon power comes into the world, you're going to see more and more of this incredible debauchery. The demons feeding on the blood of people and deriving their spiritual satisfaction from crushing the flesh of people and wringing out of them through rape and these other things. That's demonic, people. That's not flesh and blood that's going on today. That's demonic. That's demonic. And while this is going on, God is preparing this deliverer within the church. The church is singing, "I'll fly away." And God is singing, "I'm going to bring forth the overcomer in you and clear up this mess." Do you see the difference? Yeah, there's a big difference there. All right. That's not to say that we will not be raised to meet the Lord. We will be raised to meet the Lord. But that raising in 1 Thessalonians 4, that is the commander-in-chief calling the army of God up to meet Him in the air. That's no Sunday school picnic. Those people are not on their way to heaven. You'll never find it in the Bible. They rise to meet Christ in the air. In the air! Do you know why? Why will the church rise, the army of God rise to meet Christ in the air with the sound of a trumpet? Why? Because that's where these devils rule. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Isn't he? Well, that's why we rise to meet Christ in the air, because that's where the conflict will be. That's the commander of chief coming with a shout of war and the voice of the archangel Michael and the trumpet of God. Come up! And the host rises up to do battle with the Lord. It says nothing about our going to heaven. It says we rise to meet him in the air. The air. That word is never used in the Greek for heaven. That's the word for air. The aeros. We rise to meet him in the air. People, let's be Bible Christians. Hallelujah. That's talking about war. What God is interested in is war. Nothing can be solved until this spiritual conflict is fought. Nothing. The devil has to be overcome. He has to be conquered. And he rules from the air. And that is where we will meet him. And it's no place to hold for kiddies having fun. These are God's warriors. Praise the Lord. A little different concept, isn't it? Well, think about it and see what you do with it. All right. And his tail, and did cast them to the earth. Now, that'll be some place you don't want to be, is when a third of these spiritual beings come down to live among men and lose their place in the air. You don't want to be here, brother, sister. You don't want to be here. You want to be with Jesus Christ. Because that will be the day of all days when sinners have to dwell with these devils, these fallen angels. It's going to be really something. They're cast into the earth, these angels. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child. See, he's not after the woman. He's after Christ. Right? And this fifth verse is marvelous. She brought forth a man-child. Now that expression in the Greek is really something. And the translators do not do justice. They'll put a male child. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean a male child. It means the word in the Greek is a male son. Now you see that expression is redundant, isn't it? Because a son obviously is male. So you wouldn't say a male son. You would say a male child. But it does not say that in the Greek. It says a male son. And I tell you why I believe that is because God is creating within the church a male, the accent is on the male ruler. This is a ruler that is coming forth here. A male son, a ruler. Because this rebellion was terrible, it has wrecked the creation of God, and God will have sons who have within them that nature of Christ to crush every hair and feather of Satan out of the earth. No compromise, no mercy. They will banish the memory of Satan from the earth. Now that isn't in the heart of every Christian. They get so far and then they say, well, haven't we gone far enough, and we can let this little demon live, and we're pretty near there and everything. See, the male son doesn't even think like that. He has one thing in his heart and brain, just one thing, destroy. When he sees sin, it all goes. That's where the ruler comes in. You've got a whole raft of people out there, but the kingdom of God is going to be ruled by people in whose heart is no compromise. they will ensure that there will never again be sin in the creation of God. They don't look at things as the average person looks at, kind of a compromise, live and let live. They have a mission, and that mission is to cause every spirit to bow the knee to Jesus the Lord. And the spirit that doesn't will be destroyed. That's what it's talking about. They rule with a rod of iron. You ever wonder what that meant? They shall break the nations with a rod of iron. So they're broken like a flower pot into pieces. That's not talking nonsense. That's talking about something which is going to be happening pretty soon. It's very, very practical. The nations are one mass of rebellion against God. This male son will be given such power that the nations will just be broken, just absolutely awe. Every time they open their mouth to resist, crash. Until the earth is quiet. Quiet. A male son. There's a place in God's economy for the female. There's a loveliness and a beauty. But when it comes to rulership, there is no mercy to God's enemies. No compromise. No deals. No little sin left. No wedge of gold. No trace of the devil. No compassion on the demons. Nothing. They'll go through the earth. It says the land is as Eden before them, and behind them a flaming wilderness. Bow the knee. Bow the knee. Bow the knee. Jesus is Lord. And you know how people are. They'll say, oh yeah, I guess we've got to do that. And then they'll say, but really, who do they think they are? This will go on continually. That's why at the end of the millennium, there's going to be another rebellion. After 1,000 years of the rule of the sons of God, Satan will be able to turn the minds of the nations like that. That's how deeply entrenched rebellion is in the hearts of men. Look at the world today. Look at the churches today. Do you think that God's people would put up with the discipline of God today? How many Christians do you know would say to God, anything you tell me, Lord, I'll do it, and now, and no questions? All of the male sons are like that. They're all like that. Every one. They have already died. They have already died. There's nothing left but just one thing. God's will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The male son. And see, that comes about as we give over what we are and allow this one who loves righteousness and hates iniquity to be formed in us. See, as he's formed in us, then his understanding, his way of viewing things comes into us. And we get this terrible hatred of iniquity. Not of people. Not of people. We don't have no hatred of people. It's that sin that the sons of God are. It's just that spirit of disobedience. That spirit to crush it out of the creation of God until it's gone. Isn't that wonderful? And her child was caught up under... See, this is the man-child. This is the overcomers who rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. See, as soon as that's brought forth within you, it ascends. Because Christ is at the right hand of God today. And as soon as Christ is formed in you, he ascends to the right hand of God. He's not in the earth. That's why we cannot use this kind of kingdom power in the church. The church got off on that. When God began to reveal the manifestation of the sons of God some years ago, people got off. They said, oh, now it's time for the manifestation of the sons of God. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. We are still in the church age. We cannot use kingdom power like that. That is always raised up to God immediately. We still work by faith, by gifts, by the ministries that God has given us. That age has not changed. You see, this kingdom power to rule the earth is not present. And every time people try to bring it into being in these days, all they do is end up chasing their tail. Because we are in the days of the latter rain revival, the time of Pentecost upon Pentecost, the anointing, the gifts of the Spirit. But God is preparing us for the kingdom age. And so when Christ is born in you, it immediately ascends to God, there to be kept as a treasure, so that when
Christ appears, then all this that has been created will appear with him and bring in peace and everlasting righteousness. Praise the Lord. But, saints, it is wrought here. That's what your tribulations are about. They are not random. They are not something that the devil gets in a lick every now and then. They are orchestrated. They are choreographed. They are planned. And if you take advantage of each situation into which the Lord brings you, and through His grace, get the victory. Now, many Christians today break the rules. As soon as God gets them in prison, they bust out. Oh, this is more common than uncommon. It seems that practically no Christians, hardly in America. See, we're so used as Americans, we're so used to getting what we want. If we can't get it, we buy it. If we can't buy it, we steal it. If we have to, we'll kill somebody. But we're going to have what we want, bless God. And then we have preachers coming and enforcing this by saying, if you have faith, you can have what you want. You can be proud. You can have it. See, all this is antichrist. None of this is of God. It's the opposite of the ways of God. What God wants is people whom He can keep putting in a box and they won't jump out. He wants to keep dealing with them. In the needlework, remember Psalms 45, the bride is brought to you in needlework. And He wants to, people who will constantly be in the needlework. And then like in Esther, who are brought under ointments. They go through the fire, they go through the water, they go through blessing, they go through tribulation. And He needs and pulls like that. Now, are you willing to put up with the endless dealings of God? Or the minute that God really gets you into a juicy place, you cut and run and say, I don't have to put up with that. I'm a child of the King. It's not God's will that I should go through anything like that. No, don't talk to me like that. I remember when I was hooked on classical music and God finally came to me and told me to quit practicing the piano. Now, does that make any sense? I knew it was the Lord. I didn't ask too many people. I just said, okay. And I quit it 2-3 years. I wouldn't touch the piano because God told me not to. Some years ago, the Lord laid on my heart, don't read any more secular material. I was one of the most avid readers you ever find in your life. I haven't read, I can say to this day, I can say none because it's been so minuscule it's not even mentioned. Well, I used to read books by the yard. God said, don't do it. He didn't tell you not to do it. He told me not to do it. God is looking for people to say, yes, Lord, no questions asked. Not is what shall this man do, or poor me, I'm suffering more than man should bear anything. Just shut our mouths, take what God gives us, be wary that the devil doesn't lay something on us. Keep praying. Keep looking to the Lord. Count that this life is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Take up our cross. Follow Jesus, let the popular thing go its popular way, and realize that God is bringing forth a persecuted, fiery remnant that He'll bring through the fire, and when He has them perfect, He will bring them up around Himself as mighty men, and then He shall descend. And you can be in that number if you want to. Lord Jesus, we thank You, Lord. Hallelujah, we give glory to Thee, Lord. Because You are making this life count something in our lives, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Lord, we esteem the reproach of Christ greater treasure than the riches of Egypt. Hallelujah. Lord, we do not ask for wealth or fame in this world, Lord. You give us our daily bread. We say, have Your will in our lives, Lord. We pray that Christ will be formed in us. Oh, God, we pray that Christ will be formed in us. That Thy mighty man of war will be growing up within us, Lord. That You will overcome the works of hell in us. Every hair and feather, praise Your wonderful name. Yes, Lord, every trace of demonic activity, Lord, will be driven out of our hearts and minds and emotions and imaginations. Everything that is not of God will be driven out of us. Oh, we pray that Christ will enter into us in His fullness and have His perfect way in our lives. Lord, we want to love righteousness and hate iniquity. We want to march in your army, Lord. We want to do your will, Lord. We want to be perfectly obedient, sternly obedient, absolutely obedient to God. We don't want to compare ourselves with any Christian we've ever seen or heard of, Lord. We want to do your will. We want to do your will. We want to do it perfectly through Jesus Christ, through his grace, through his wisdom, through his love, through him, his virtue. We want to do your perfect will, that you can begin in us the work of destroying the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. Until finally every trace of the enemy's handiwork has been driven out of the creation of God. Oh, that's what we look forward to, Lord, that day of final and perfect triumph. We know it's coming through Jesus Christ. Lord, let it begin in us, we pray. Hallelujah. That the great problem will be solved and all of Christ's enemies shall become his footstool. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, you're so wonderful. By your power, we shall overcome.